Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Coming up on the Holderness Family Podcast, how to have better conversations. Pen, are you even listening to me?
Not really.
Pen is making eye contact so aggressively right now. He wants to say something. Go for it.
Also, I think I'm kind of like a dog with a shock collar.
Not hijacking a conversation. Another person started.
So what you've hit upon is two different types of interruptions.
I got so much out of what he said the first time. That caused my armpits to sweat.
There are a lot of people that know me in my life and would go like, really? That guy is an expert in communication?
Like, I got to the end of that and I was like, oh, he keeps talking.
And we get an in-depth look of what's happening inside Penn's brain while somebody else is talking.
3, 2, 1. No, he's still talking. Okay.
The conversation has already failed.
Let's get right to it.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
Yes, and I'm Pen Holderness.
Yes, and this is the Holderness Family Podcast.
Yes, and we do a Facebook and YouTube page. We make some funny, kind of corny music videos.
And this is far less cringy. This is a podcast. We want to make you laugh, but we also want to make you think. So this is a lot different from maybe what you're used to if you've only seen those really weird videos.
Yes, and we would love it if you would subscribe to this podcast. I know a lot of people, they just kind of click on the link when it shows up on Facebook, and it's great. You can listen to it that way. We're glad that we're finding you wherever you are, but if you can go to wherever you get your podcast and hit that little subscribe button on your iPhone,
it's or follow little, yeah. on Spotify. Yeah. It's a follow on Spotify. It's a subscribe button. It's a purple button on iTunes.
Yep.
We would love it. It helps people find us and make sure that, you know, we can stalk you and find you in every way. And if you could leave a review, we love the reviews. We read them all. They're particularly nice to me, so I super love them.
I know. Did you, every time there's a comment, I'll give a generic one that they don't really have, but it's like, Kim, you are so empowering and so brave and have changed my life for the better. I feel like we're best friends, period. Pen, you burp a lot.
Yes.
And that's fine, because I do.
Yes, it
I'm
is.
Glad. I'm glad to be the person who does that.
Yes, but those are so, so helpful. So thank you.
And
so Dan Sipp has worked in theater as an actor, director, and teacher for over 30 years. He studied, performed, and directed improvisation. I'm going to use my words today, in Chicago for 8 years.
Yeah, so about a dozen years ago, he started working at Duke University, which, by the way, is kind of in our neck of the woods. And this is an interesting job. He was a standardized patient actor and volunteer patient advocate. Can't wait to ask him exactly what that means.
Exactly.
Like,
but it
actor.
Is fascinating to me how you can use, you don't have to be a comedian that stands up on a stage, but you can help your conversations by taking these improv techniques, and it can help in the painful small talk at a cocktail party, in a business situation, and in your marriage.
Yeah, that's the part I can't wait to hear, because I do think that there is not enough yes and in married people conversations. Let's bring in Max and ask him about this. Max Trujillo, our producer. Have you been told before that you are not being as positive and supportive by your wife, and that you should be saying more yes and instead of yes but?
Yes, and I've tried to improve on those aspects of my life.
Me too.
Yes, and I'm really, really excited about this podcast with Dan Sipp. So away we go.
Welcome, Dan. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited to talk to you. So tell us, first of all,
what would you say
you do?
Yeah, it's a very fancy title that we just read, and it sounds like you might actually like perform surgery on people, but I know that's not true.
No, I have no clinical experience, so I don't actually work with patients and families. But I do work at Duke School of Medicine, and I work for the Standardized Patient Program. And we use actors to portray patients in simulations of encounters with students. A lot of people will say, oh, it's like that Seinfeld episode.
I was going to say Kramer. Right, when, Kramer. I was just about to say that was one of the best episodes ever.
Right.
You do the best gonorrhea. Anybody I've ever seen like that.
It is really not like that.
Okay, disappointing.
But that's the idea. So it gives learners the opportunity to practice what we would call clinical reasoning, physical exam skills, and interpersonal skills.
And we're going to talk about having better conversations with our friends in the workplace and within our marriage.
And things like how not to interrupt people when they're in the middle of a sentence.
When you're thinking about something
and you just have to get it out instead of letting the person finish their thought.
Yeah.
Oh, for the love.
So what you've hit upon is two different types of interruptions.
Okay.
There's the traditional type of interruption that we think of, which is what we just saw.
Yes.
Which is butting in when someone's talking. That's a regular interruption. We know that. But there's another kind called a non-kinetic interruption. Oh. And a non-kinetic interruption is when you come up with a really great thing that you have to share, and you stop listening to what the other person is saying, and really what you're doing is looking
just
for the opportunity
waiting
to jump in.
Right.
Yeah. So you've disconnected from the conversation, even though you haven't actually interrupted them yet.
It happened 20 minutes ago.
Right. And Max was telling me a story, but Penn had found something funny on his phone, and he was doing this, like wanting to show me, and it was like he hadn't interrupted Penn, because he is a very funny guy.
Yeah.
And so he hears something funny, and he so desperately wants to say it. And I have worked with him on not interrupting. Mm-hmm. So instead, he just is like a little kid, and he can't wait to tell you. And he's jumping up and down, and he wants to jump in, but he has disconnected. Like right now.
No, I'm commenting on when you're done with your sentence. I'm like just fuming over here.
Okay.
Because you ask me to interrupt people sometimes.
No,
because,
I don't.
Yes, you do, in your own sort of subtle way.
No.
Well, there will be a conversation that you're uncomfortable with, and you will want me to grab the mic and steer it away. It happens a lot with family members. Mm-hmm. And you are grateful for me and almost depend on me to do that. So we've got to talk about some boundaries here.
Okay. No, well, he's going to. Okay. First of all, he came up with some. He has like 3 points we're hitting on here.
Oh, great.
So
he's prepared.
Yes. So we're going to talk about the importance of checking in with the other person to see if they're able, ready, willing to like have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about what sort of signs we should be looking for.
Well, this came out of an exercise that I was teaching to some medical learners. One of these games is that we teach students is called Red Ball. It's a really, really basic improv exercise. And so what you do is you get people in a circle, and it's about tossing an imaginary ball around the circle. And it starts off with somebody holding this imaginary red ball and making eye contact with someone and holding up the ball and saying, Red Ball. They toss it to that person. The person catches it and says, Thank you, Red Ball. So that's the basis of this game. But an important part of this is that first part where I make eye contact with you. I'm picking someone in the circle. I make eye contact with that person. And what I'm doing is I'm checking in with them to make sure that it's okay for me to do this. I am not throwing the ball at them and saying red ball. It's not hot potato, like heads up or something. If you have older brothers and you got hit in the head with footballs a lot as a kid, then you know that experience. But you're checking in first.
Okay.
And so I taught this exercise to a group of PT students. And one of the students later said, you know, this applies to my relationship with my fiance.
Yeah.
I have a bad habit. This is her telling the story. I have a bad habit of just, he's watching sports on TV, and I just come into the room, and I'm in the middle of my conversation. Boom. Here it is. Here's what I need to talk to you about. And he gets kind of annoyed about that because he's in the middle of watching a football game. Well, you may, you know, as the person coming into the room, you may say, this is really important and is more important than your football game. On the other hand, you haven't gotten permission from that person to dump all this stuff on. Maybe it's a game that is really important to them or a really important part of the game. Or maybe they just had a crappy week and they need some time where they're not thinking about big, important things. Whatever it is. So what they has started doing in their relationship, she actually sent me an email after the fact, is checking in. She's now checking in with him before she starts a big conversation. And they have a shorthand. She'll come into the room and say, Red ball. And if he says no, then it's not time for that conversation.
So you can reject the red ball.
In
you
their can, relationship, okay. they can. In the game, no. Okay. They've taken that game and adapted it to their relationship. And it was just a great application.
I have to say, we violate this, especially me. And I know I'm doing it.
8:01 a.m. every day.
He'll walk downstairs. He walks downstairs, or he's walking.
No, I'm coming in from carpool.
Or he comes in from carpool, and he's like wandering in. And I'm like, okay. And I just start, I launch at him.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can't. We're using Red Bull.
Yeah.
Can we use Red Bull for the rest of this podcast?
Yes, please.
We're going to screw it up. Okay, so, I'm sorry. I was talking just now. So, Red Bull.
He's looking at me now. I've accepted that.
Okay, now keep talking.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fabulous relationship hack because I am super guilty. While he does the 27 different ways you can interrupt somebody, I do the, I will throw a red ball at your face if you're not, even if you're not looking. So, nice work, Dan.
Yeah.
Improving marriages. And now I'm looking at Dan. Okay, yeah.
No, you gotta say red ball.
Oh, for the love. People can't, they're listening. They can't tell.
I was trying to do applied improvisation.
Okay,
go ahead, Dan.
No,
sorry.
And.
No, and.
No, that was a no, no and not.
And so, I can see how this relates to relationship. I can see how this works in a work setting.
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
What I totally cringe and I'm terrible at is this small talk in a like a cocktail party setting. I actually avoid those things. Mm-hmm. So how is that? How does that relate in those sort of settings?
So improv for introverts, if you will.
Wow. You know, I would love to say that I've got a life hack for that. I am also an introvert. Uh-huh. And to me, my worst case conversational scenario is in a big group of people and I just have to saunter up to someone and introduce myself. And I'm a person who's very comfortable on stage and I can talk forever. But if you're an introvert like me, like I don't want to talk about small talk. Small talk discombobulates my brain.
Yes.
But if you want to, let's go into, you know, let's get into
talk about it. Let's
like
go deep.
Intellectual property in the world of the internet and how it relates to French pop music. I got into a conversation with the cashier at Whole Foods about that one time, and I walked out of there going like, only at Whole Foods would you have that conversation with a cashier.
Yes.
You know, just
but I'm into it, man.
But how did he get into that with you? Like, these are some nice French fries. Do you know about the musical rights and the internet of French pop music?
Well, to be honest, I think I probably broached the subject.
Yeah.
But
I'm with you. I would rather have this. Like, how are you? Great. How are you? No, I actually, that got a lot going on. You want to hear about? Like, I would rather go super deep than just do this surface stuff. I'm pretty terrible at it. Okay. Yeah.
You've really helped your cause by wearing shirts to these things that say stuff like, I like coffee and maybe three people.
Or, I only wear that at home.
Or, I'm sorry I'm late. I didn't want to come. Yeah. She has all these like introverted t-shirts.
And it's gotten to the point where the lovely, lovely people that are in this community, I will meet people at like Disneyland or Target or something. And they're like, we know you don't like people. I'm like, no, I like people. I love people. I just don't do great when I have to, like, you know.
Small talk. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I actually love it when, you know, I meet people. So that's just PSA.
Yeah, for me, it's starting the conversation. Like, once the conversation gets rolling, I'm sauntering up to someone and going like, hey, you weren't talking to me, but now you are. You know, it's just like, that's the part that I always struggle
I'm on the struggle bus with that one. Meanwhile, this one could go into an empty room and come out with three best friends.
Right, sure.
Yeah. The first thing on my bio should be Penn Holderness is from a gigantic family in the South.
Yeah.
I'm from a gigantic family.
In the South.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's, there Florida. Is something in our DNA that avoids meaningful topics and goes straight to superfluous information in bulk, like right off the bat. And I've become quite fluent. Yeah, bless your heart is how you say it, is how you are about to talk smack about someone.
Oh, bless their heart.
So, how about this weather we've been having not cringeworthy for you? It's here we go about weather.
I'm tracking the Horn of Africa right now. I'm so glad you asked.
For me, it's like the conversation has already failed. Yeah. Oh my gosh, we're talking about weather. Yeah. This is
I need to invent an emergency. Right. Okay, next on your list was not hijacking a conversation.
Yeah.
Another person started. I think that we're all, anybody listening to this may be guilty. But
I'm super guilty of it.
Yeah, so talk to us about this.
Well, so when I'm talking with medical learners, I have to kind of contextualize this because I want to say, like, I have experiences having conversations that are important to me. The conversations that I have are very different because I'm helping to manage 65 employees in our standardized patient program, or I'm having a high stakes conversation on stage. I'm not talking with patients and family, so it's a little bit different. But I will say everybody has conversations that are important to them that they want to, you know, have better outcomes with.
Right.
And where I practice this, I think the most often, is in my relationship with my wife. And one of the things I started noticing in myself was my wife would come home and say, "Wow, I just had such a terrible day at work." And I've also had a terrible day at work. So I would say, "Oh, me too." You know, and I would start talking about my day at work. And so, yes, I have checked the box in that I was listening to you. You said bad day at work. I'm trying to empathize with you by saying, I know what a bad day at work
you
is like.
You did a yes
because,
and.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I had that bad day too. It makes the person on the other side of that conversation, though, feel not heard. Because these are parallel conversations. They're sort of running alongside each other, but they don't feel very connected. So I've had to sort of teach myself and remind myself constantly that when my wife comes home and says, "I've had a bad day at work," my responsibility in that conversation, if I want to be a good husband and a good partner, is to say, tell me what happened, mm-hmm. and listen to that. And then at some point, when I feel like my wife has said what she wants to say, then it's my turn to bring in the empathy and say, "Yeah, I know, I'm with you. I'm so with you. I had this horrible day." And then it's my turn to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then both people, I think, get out of that conversation what they're looking for. But I think we all have the experience of my dad's in the hospital and he's not doing so great. And someone goes, "Oh, I remember when my dad was sick." And it's just like,
that's not what they need to hear.
You don't feel heard. And so it's a small thing to think about, but it requires focus and attention because it's such a natural thing to want to share your experience, to have a connection there. Mm-hmm. And that's not I don't think is the right way to connect in that moment.
Penn is making eye contact so aggressively right now. He wants to say something.
No,
go for it.
So here's what just happened there. You were talking about not hijacking a conversation. You've mentioned the non-kinetic interruptions. Mm-hmm. About 14 words into what you said, I had something that I want to say. But instead of, like, yes, I did wait, mm-hmm. but also I think I'm kind of like a dog with a shock collar. Mm-hmm. And, like, you go to the invisible fence and just kind of, but then you just keep ramming yourself into the fence instead of stopping and listening to what you're doing. So that, like, I bet people do that. There's some people who do it some and others who do it more. I think I do it more than most.
Yes, and without taking over.
First of all, I can't go back. What I should have done is just shut up and listen to the guy because I might learn more things. Like, I got to the end of that and I was like, "Oh, he keeps talking." But here's a practice. Say that same thing that you just did and just keep going. And I'm going to do the inner monologue of my head. So we're going to be talking at the same time. Okay?
I will also say that, Penn, this has ADD.
Yeah.
And so, and many conversations, he's really fun to be around, but many conversations, and I think a lot of people have this, he wants to contribute and how he contributes. Sure. Like, he wants to do this. So, okay, so do you want me to ask him the question again?
Yeah, and then you talk, and I'm going to talk over you, right?
Okay.
So everyone's going to hear what's going on in my head. and then he's going to fix me.
Poor Karen listening to this has now run off the road.
Karen is already furious that I'm talking about shock collars and dogs.
So,
actually, that's her big issue.
So let's talk about not hijacking a conversation and another person and to how it relates in your marriage. Tell us, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is that I practice a lot of these skills.
I have an idea about the marriage,
in
too.
In my relationship with my wife, because that's where...
I mean, like right now, I just came up with this idea, but I can't say anything.
I really want them to be better.
And it's kind of like, you know what it is? I have the best metaphor. It's like a dog.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Home with a shock collar, but I can't say anything about it. Wait, what is he even talking about right now? I've got this idea about a shock collar. I want to say the shock collar. Is he done? No, he's not done. He's still talking. I've got okay, I'm going to forget about the shock collar. He's talking about his wife. I'm not sure why.
She wants to tell about her bad day.
Three, and then two. No, he's still talking. Okay, like he's talking about his bad day. Anyway, so that's
I don't know how long you wanted me to go.
Okay,
was that
Dan,
useful?
Dan and Penn.
Well done, by the way.
That was very good. So, by the way, I got so much out of what he said the first time. That had caused my armpits to sweat.
Yeah.
But I got a lot out of that. Did you hear anything about what he said?
I was thinking about the shot caller the entire time.
But about not hijacking the conversation.
Yes. No, so listen, you have seen me. I'm trying to do this.
Yes.
The main issue is that it is me just, instead of like stopping and listening, I'm just kind of...
Stop. He's waiting
for you to stop so I can say something.
He's waiting to jump in. Like, you know, like
trying to be as honest as possible about
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. So, you know, like the visual I have is like the double Dutch jump rope. So there's like a jump rope team going, and Penn so desperately is waiting to jump into the conversation because he wants to participate. Because out of like genuine love and care for what you have to say, he like wants to keep it going. So it's out of kindness, but also like as a partner. As somebody who interviews people on podcasts, we're working on like listening. We're just working on listening. So any tips for that?
Okay. So what I want to say with regard to Penn's struggle here is I think you and I have a lot in common in that regard. And, you know, it's funny for me to come on a podcast or to work at the School of Medicine and represent myself as a person who is an expert on communication. Because I think there are a lot of people that know me in my life and would go like, really? Yeah. That guy is an expert in communication? The thing is, there are people that have like a natural affinity for this, and they're better at it from the start. It comes easier to them. And then there's some people that really struggle with this to make their conversations better. I think the process is not, am I good or am I not good at this? Is this hard or is it easy? But am I focused on this? Am I still working to get better? Even somebody who starts off as a very high-level learner, someone who in the world of medicine we would say has good bedside manner, maybe they worked very hard to cultivate that. Maybe it came to them easily. But these skills that we have, that we bring to these conversations are learnable and teachable, and it requires practice. So how do you get better at listening? How do you stop the non-kinetic interruption? It's not something that just because I know that I'm not supposed to do that goes away. For example, I've got a friend who's an amazing drummer, and he's so good. And he said, don't think that this came easily to me. I'm not a natural at the drum. You watch him play and he seems like such a natural. But he said, I worked so hard for this. Some of us have to work really hard at this. And it's a matter of practicing and getting better. Practice, practice, practice. That's all it is. So I'm not the most natural, you know, high-level communicator. I'm still working on that. I'm trying to get better.
And Penn, that just means that every morning when we wake up, I'm going to say red ball, and then you're going to look at me, and we're going to have a deep conversation.
Oh, but no, I can reject the red ball. Remember,
not ready for it.
You're not ready for the red ball.
That was very enlightening, though, because, I mean, I think we all gravitate toward the things that come easy to us, right? But you can't escape this. This is life. This is communication, and this is our marriage, right? So, there are things that come very easily to me, and listening is not one of them. And I'm very grateful for you for being patient with me on that. But just talking about it as a craft and a tool and not just something like, well, I suck at listening. I guess I'll just keep on interrupting people for the rest of my life and just be a butthole. Like, it's nice to know that like just saying that makes me feel better. Because I like to get better at stuff.
Yeah.
I'm super competitive.
Yeah. I'm going to be the best.
I'm going to be a better listener than Kim.
You can decide that playing the guitar doesn't come easily to you, and you don't have to play the guitar. No one's putting a gun to your head making you play the guitar. But if if you're in a marriage or you're at work, if you want to keep having crappy conversations, you got to work on that. One of the reasons that we really encourage this in medical providers is because having good and bad conversations is tied to burnout and job satisfaction. And so many people leave the medical profession or they end up getting sued by patients because their communication skills are poor. Yeah. And so it's a problem institutionally for the hospital that you work at. It's a problem for you personally in your career. And, you know, if you go to medical school and you walk away with $500,000 in debt, you have to stay in the medical field to pay off your student loans, for crying out loud. You know, you've been in school for 8 years just so you can walk away with a real job in the medical field. You have a huge investment in that. So this idea of it's not just for your patients. It's also for you and your job satisfaction, how you feel at the end of the day. I know when I have a bad conversation, it's hard to let that go. I mean, I stew over it. I go over and over in my mind.
Yeah.
And so that's why I want to have better conversations, because it's important.
And then you also mentioned, we've been joking a lot about like the yes and.
Yes.
And I think we assume that everybody knows about what that is. But what's the genesis of yes and what sort of power does that have versus a yes but?
Well, when if you take an improv class or if you read a book about improvisation, like one that's not even directly about improv, but like Tina Fey's book, Bossy
Pants. I loved it. Yeah.
Great, great book. Yeah. And she talks about this sort of the closest thing we have to a formula in improvisation, which is saying yes and. Yes is so fundamental to improvisation. We can't build anything together. Improv is about collaboration, creating something out of nothing without really making a strong plan about it. So we have to work together, or, you know, I like to think of it, you know, when you go out on stage and you don't really know where this scene or this game is going to go, you're like in a dinghy in the middle of the ocean with one other person. If you guys don't work together, you're both going to fail, you know? So it's all about collaboration. And yes gets us to collaboration. And the and part is so that you'll add some information. I'm going to say yes to this, and I'm going to add information, and you're going to say yes, and that way we build something together. If I only say yes and I don't add any information, the onus is on you to provide all the information. And for some people, that's great. But for a lot of people, it doesn't feel collaborative. It feels like burdensome. Mm-hmm. So we want to collaborate there. And so as part of some of the applied improvisation that I teach in the medical world, we do an exercise where it's a progression. We start off and we'll have people pair up and say, you're going to have a 2-minute conversation and each exchange is going to start with yes and. And we'll talk about how that goes. And a lot of people will say, it felt kind of mannered because I don't really say yes and in my real life and in any regular sense. And so then we have them practice a similar conversation, different topic, but this one starts with yes but. And then we say, how did those conversations feel different? And what's interesting is a lot of people will say, like, that felt much more natural because I have yes but conversations all the time. But for most people, they say it feels negative or contentious or like I'm trying to one-up the other person. And so, yes, it's interesting because then we'll start to like deconstruct these conversations and say, well, wait a second. Why does it feel contentious? You said yes. We're still starting with yes. But what happens is we have a negativity bias. It's a well-known thing about the human brain is when you hear something positive about you and then something negative about you, you're going to remember the negative rather than the positive.
Yeah, welcome to the internet and comments.
Yes.
Just going to throw that out there. That's
so what is that, as it relates to marriage, let's just say, how does that help your marriage to attack it from a yes and perspective?
Well, I think that this has even a wider application. I think this is just about conversations, even lower stakes conversations. I try not to tell learners in my workshops what they should take away. You know, it should be what resonated with you and how do you think you might be able to apply that to the work you do. You know your work better than I do. I'm not trying to tell you how to do your work. But what we find is a lot of people say this focus on the word but in conversations and how it has more weight than we originally considered is a takeaway that they have. So let me give you an example. So if I say, my friend Dave is really smart, but conversations with him are exhausting, does that feel like my intention is to say something positive or negative about
Dave? Negative.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just the order. I could say conversations with Dave are exhausting, but he's a really smart guy.
It's anything still, after the bot.
Or before.
I was going to say the negative is the thing that people
I think both ways that felt negative.
Yeah. So if I say something like, Dave is a really smart guy, and that guy has more friends than anyone I know, but conversations with him are exhausting.
That was two nice things.
Even two nice things still feels negative.
Okay.
So we have to be conscious of connecting positives with a negative in the same sentence because people are going to take away the negative.
So what's the best way to communicate that he's terrible at conversations? Don't say anything.
To me, this first part of it, Dave is a really smart guy, is not for me to compliment Dave. It's for me to say to you, don't hate me for saying something bad about Dave. It's a social nicety. To me, that's equivalent to the yes of yes, but. Yes doesn't mean yes, I agree with you. More often, yes means yes, you've stopped talking, and now it's time for me to talk. So I would say, what is the intention of that conversation? Dave is it's exhausting Dave. Having conversations with Dave. I mean, maybe later in the conversation.
It's a very Southern thing to sugar. Like, bless his heart.
Absolutely.
Anytime someone says, I'm not a misogynist, but what's going to come? What's the next thing that's coming out of your mouth? An incredibly misogynistic remark.
Just stop talking.
But that's a good idea. So that makes a really a whole lot of sense. So just get right to it. Mm-hmm. And maybe even afterward, after saying that and there's a response, say, yeah, he's a really smart guy.
Yeah.
That feels better.
Yeah.
Don't clump them together.
I mean, if my worry is you're not going to like me for saying something bad about Dave, maybe my first decision is, should I say something bad about Dave?
Nah.
Maybe this won't be received the right way. We do this. We put buts in there casually, and we don't realize the way that influences a conversation. And here's a really simple way of thinking about that. So if I say, we're working really hard right now, but we're doing very good work, the fact that we're doing good work doesn't invalidate the fact that we're working hard. We're doing both of those. Yeah. So why am I putting a but in there? There's no really what you can do is substitute the word and for but in a lot of these conversations, and it is a better way of communicating. To say we're working really hard and we're doing really good work is closer to what I'm actually trying to communicate.
Okay, I have to be an ombudsman here. We have a very trusted pastor who taught us that when we're communicating with each other, you should always say three affirming things before before you say something critical.
Oh, interesting.
And it's actually worked for us because because
now it's a joke. Like your couple has like the red
ball. Coming when she says
it. Now it's a joke. Yeah. I'm like, listen, okay, you're great with the kids, and I appreciate all you do around the house. And he knows it's coming. It's kind of a joke.
And it's also really important when you are working with someone who is also your wife that you are careful with the words that you choose, that they aren't too negative, and that you're not, you know, poo-pooing an idea. So I think there's a way for these two things to coexist, and maybe that's in just communicating more directly. But like, what do you say to the person who says, "Let's say three nice things to someone before getting to the critical side"?
Well, you know, to me that feels a bit like a formula, and if you are really invested in the three positive things, I could see that working. The problem is I think a lot of people are going to treat it as a checklist. Like, I've done the stuff I didn't want to do, and now I'm getting to the point that I really want to get to, which doesn't seem to be honoring the intention of that type
one
of
thing.
A formula.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Okay, so great. I love you, but when we talk about things at... Oh, I see, I just did it.
Yeah.
When we talk about things at work, and if we just did yes and all the time, the idea would steamroll into, we're doing it no matter what. And if I sort of shut you down at the beginning and said, I don't think this is a good idea, that is generally not welcomed either. So what,
This is going to be a work in progress, because not only are we married together,
we work together.
So a lot of it is, you know, Penn says, I want to do a video on, I want to do the beer mile that was popular for so you drink. And I said, okay, well, we are a family audience. That doesn't make sense for us to do. So I could have said, yes, that is a great, you're very athletic, and we can do it with milk. Like, I should have said it like that instead of, that's a terrible idea. We have a family audience.
And I said, and I have a lactose intolerance.
Yes, and we can use coconut milk. So I...
yes, and you're being difficult.
Yes, so we could twist this. But I think that's going to be the hardest one for us to put into practice.
Yeah, because our ideas are important. We very seldom have the same ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm kind of, Dan's making some sense about this. Like, just say something directly.
Save the...
And I think that you have to do it over and over and over again so that you get used to it, and it's not rude, and it's not... Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, 95% of communication is nonverbal, so it's also the way that you say it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, many conversations with our standardized patients, because one of the most important things that we provide in simulation is not just playing, in Kramer's sense, playing gonorrhea really well. It's the conversation that you have afterwards with the learner about what the experience was like for you, adjusting to your relationship, practicing it to find the things that work for you all.
Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah. That's the big takeaway I'm getting from this. Like, practice in listening, practice in the way you talk to people. And like, this is good stuff. What else you got? Got anything else for us? Like, I'm eating this up now. I'm just going to do my favorite comedic impressions because we're here with a comedian.
Well, that being said,
what's your favorite planet? Planet's the sun.
So,
no?
but anyone? Yeah, that was Harry Carey.
Yeah, that was Will Ferrell.
More specifically, that was Will Ferrell playing Harry Carey. Yeah. What's your best impression, Dan?
I do a little bit of a Popeye.
Oh, that's a little sweepy.
That's.
Well, Dan, thank you so very much, man, for coming in and helping us have better conversations. Yeah. Our next interview that we're going to be doing later today, Penn is going to be listening the mess out of it. He's going to be the best listener ever.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, don't be too hard on yourself, because it's all a process. We're all trying to get better. And if you're too hard on yourself, it becomes self-defeating, and you won't be willing to put in the work to actually get better. Check in with your partner and find out what's working. I'm definitely a work in progress, and
we all are.
Yeah.
So
I love hearing that, though.
Yeah.
Because that's, to me, I don't know why, I just thought that, okay, this is my lot in life. I'm just going to suck at this until the day that I die.
No.
I could actually, or take a pill.
Yeah.
Right? Which I did. No, I mean, seriously, I took a pill in college, and it made me a better listener. And I wasn't as, I don't think I was as complete of a person or as eccentric and as fun as I'd like to be. So I stopped taking the pill, and I found a line of work that actually allows me to capitalize off of that, but then I still suck at listening. So, but yeah, like practice. Yeah. Got a workbook. I'm psyched.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thanks, guys, for listening. If you can do us a favor, like screenshot it and tag us on Instagram or at the Wilderness Family. We love to see those and we try to reply to all of them. So thanks.
And Karen, we don't use the collars for our dogs. Settle down, the invisible fences. Although I have no problem with them either. Yes. I have no comments on invisible fences, Karen. Bump it up to 8.
Okay. Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.